Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. We missed last week.
I know, it was terrible. You know, did anybody ever tell you, I was thinking about this, did anybody ever tell you you sound like Kevin Bacon?
Nobody's ever said this. You talked about this earlier, and it's like, I've heard Kevin Bacon, I've heard my own voice, I know what I sound like, not in my own ears, but when I play myself back, I don't get it, I'm not seeing it.
No, well...
Now I'm going to have to go listen to Kevin Bacon, because if that's the case, I'm going to start making phone calls.
Yeah.
Hey man, Kev's here. I want to say, that so and so, I got to fire that guy. I don't like working with him anymore.
Well, I was with friends of mine, Marky and Bill, and we were talking about a lot of different things. They're big fans of yours, and they were saying how you just sound so much like Kevin Bacon.
I sound like Kevin Bacon that they're fans? Is that the?
I could think of no other reason why.
Yeah. So today is the 24th of January, and we've got 2 weeks to catch up on. So what's happened? Nothing.
We've had some
markets. The same basic spot where it was when we didn't do a show for 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's been going down and then coming right back up, or going up and then coming right back down.
Yeah, it's like
been
frozen
one
in
day
limbo.
Up of the week, and then I mean it was since that Tuesday. I agree with you. It hasn't really moved very much, but there's been some action. There's been some stocks that have really done well. Some that have just gotten crushed with earnings. It's all about earnings season right now. Economics are kind of a little bit light right now. There's Asia is many countries in Asia are closed for the lunar holiday for the week. So that's
what they close. They close for the week.
Yeah, for a week.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, you know what's interesting? There was a story that I didn't put on a list here, but that the inflation rate in Vietnam has come down to a low level of 17%.
Mm.
And the government came on and said, listen, folks, do us a favor. We know this is a big time of year for buying things and going out and the holiday season and all that. We want you to hold back. Don't spend so much. We want to keep inflation in check. We don't want consumer prices moving higher. You know, constrain yourselves. Restrain the whole thing. Just take it easy this year. Well, the numbers came in. They spent like enormous amounts of money, more than they have in the past. And they're not showing any restraint at all. And I thought that was really kind of odd that a government would come out and say kind of like hold back. And then, the citizens are going out and spending, $100 here or $100 there more, which is a lot for Vietnam.
Yeah, they haven't got that much income to begin with.
Right. Very low per capita. Very low. Like $2,300 or something like that. Very low.
It's a weird place. They have a very high literacy rate. It's like, I think, the highest in the world. It's like 90 plus.
They also have some of the – I told you about their coffee, but the highest export of coffee in the world next to some of the Latin American countries. 25% of all the world's coffee comes from Vietnam or something like that.
I never heard this.
Oh, yeah. Huh. You've heard my discussion about Vietnamese coffee, right?
Yeah, you're right. They do drink a lot of coffee with that little device, that crazy Vietnamese coffee you can get at a Vietnamese restaurant. It's very tasty.
I have – we have about 8 different – bags of that in our office. We drink a little bit of that every day. The best. Anyway, so let's talk about some earnings, okay? I want to talk about some things that are right near and dear to your heart, because tech earnings have been just amazing. Microsoft, the stock that was unmovable.
Dead money.
Dead, just nothing happening. Comes out with earnings, and actually they ramp up into earnings before earnings even come out. They start ramping up and moving higher, and this is the trend of trying to buy stocks with stable dividends and, maybe not big movers. So there's a lot of a big desire to find stocks that are big caps that are not going to break down in any really bad situation, kind of like the utilities, but in a different genre. So Microsoft comes out with earnings, and they actually don't do as well on their Windows side. Windows isn't really impressive. But the Xbox side and their gaming and a few other areas are really impressive. Stock goes up 5% on earnings. Now, 5% for Microsoft is enormous.
Yeah.
That's, it's closing in on 30, and it was, 24 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So that's pretty impressive. I don't know what their next routine is going to be. And I don't even know if they deserve what they have right now, the price they have right now, but it is what it is. Did you have any thoughts on that, on Microsoft? I mean, there's some commentary
I've kind of written about it and on and again. It's like it's nothing, if nothing else is taking the pressure off of, you know, people who keep wanting to get rid of Ballmer, which is like and put in who is what I always say.
Well, Jerry Yang's available.
Can you imagine? And
would that be a twist or what?
That, yeah. Well, Yang's never really run anything. So, I mean, even when he was at Yahoo, he's basically a figurehead. I don't know what you would do. You can't get – I think the biggest problem at Microsoft is Ballmer. Not that he's doing a lousy job, but that if he decided to quit or something happened to him, or if he, you know, was kicked out by irrational shareholders, I don't know what the company would do. I don't think you can run that company. I don't think anyone can. I think essentially at this point, Steve Ballmer and Bill Gates are the two guys that can run that company. I think there used to be a guy named Jeff Rakes who went with Gates to run the big charity. And Rakes was, I always thought, was being groomed to be the CEO of Microsoft long term. He's a younger guy. I didn't think Ballmer wanted to keep doing the job. And Rakes is a kind of a company man, looks a little like Gates. Smart guy, knows every aspect of the business, and then they haul him out of there, and then Bill has him running the charity. And so I'm thinking, well, that was a kind of a bonehead move. I mean, they groomed the guy essentially, and now you got nothing.
Have you ever thought about, you know, Bill Gates is a guy who is always very intense. He was very much a mover in terms of his mind moving very, very quickly with innovation, invention, and just all sorts of things, and then, you know, he gets a charge out of that. And now he's running a charity. Does he, you think he gets that same kind of charge, or is he just kind of like done?
I think he's been suckered into doing this. I don't think it's really something he really wanted to do.
By who, Buffett?
Yeah. I know a very rich guy, like extremely rich, who always said, you know, that Gates had been suckered by Buffett to become Buffett's money manager. And because he could trust him. And what you got now is Bill Gates running a charity. I mean, there are ways of making money off the charity, but it can't be as exciting as, you know, running Microsoft. I think he got suckered. And then, of course, his wife never much liked I don't think she was a big Microsoft fan, even though she worked there. And because not as prestigious as, you know, this kind of high rank he has in a world in the world of worlds, where he can go meet the head of Zimbabwe and have dinner at the palace kind of thing, which is you know, okay, but I never thought Bill was into that to begin with, so I don't know.
Well, anyway, we'll see what happens.
Too late now. He's done.
Right. Well, Ballmer was – there were some activist shareholders that were coming out and trying to take Ballmer out for a little while there. And that just –
And put
out.
In who?
I understand. I who? If you had anybody to put in there, would you – I mean, could you think of anybody?
No.
I mean,
zero. I've written about this a number of times, and I keep asking the same question. You're going to put who in there?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Nobody. There's not a person in the world that can do that job. You got Ballmer, you're stuck with him.
Right. Well, Intel is doing well, actually, against the odds. You know, there's a discussion about PC sales being just down, and okay, that's interesting. But Intel is now at multi-year highs. Now, at the same time, AMD tonight comes out.
Yeah, but what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything.
That's
multi-year highs over after a decade of dead money.
Right. Well, it's since 2008 or so. Or not, or seven.
Well, I mean, it was big deal. Everything was collapsed back then.
Right. But still, here's the thing that
what
I really
What is the price on Intel right now?
There's a little chart I put down there for you.
Yeah, a chart. So we got for the chart.
Intel's currently trading about 27.
Yeah, yeah.
It's as low as 12.
I told
back
my
in
son to buy stock when it was at 18.
Yeah.
He didn't do it.
Back to that again. Looking good. Now, here's the thing that I find a bit perplexing. So you have Intel, which, by the way, did come out some time ago and say that they had some concern about the PC business, too. Remember that?
Just a few weeks ago, one of our shows, I think right after the first of the year. Oh, the PC business is toast.
Right. So their stock is at multi-year highs. AMD comes out. They guide lower, and they say, of course, the PC sales are slumping. So now I think It's kind of weird
Are PC sales slumping, or is it growth that's slumping? This is the real problem I think we have in the entire system. We have it with our government. I think this is where it begins. They talk about they're going to cut spending. They never cut spending. They cut growth spending. So they spend like, say, 10 of something, and then it's projected to go to 12. They cut the 12 to 11. That's not cutting spending in my mind. Cutting spending was going from 10 to 9.
Right, cut it back. Well, 10 to 9 isn't right. Okay.
That's cutting spending. The other thing is just cutting the growth. We're going to spend twice as much, and we're going to cut that in half, so we cut spending. And I wonder, I haven't looked at the numbers on the PC, but I'm not.
They said sales slumped. That was their line.
Sales slumped. I think it's growth that slumped.
Well, hold on a second. Let's think about this for a second. We could actually, I think, deconstruct this a little bit. If Intel is saying that sales slumped on the PC, but at the same time, they're making money. Okay, now let's move forward. AMD is saying sales are slumping on the PC. They said specifically sales slumped. Again, we can look at what that is. And they're projecting lower guidance moving forward. The difference between Intel and AMD, there's one gigantic difference, is Intel is run inside of the Apple machines, the Macs, right?
Yeah.
And Intel also has a much bigger footprint in the alternative processors, the small, like the Atoms, right?
Yeah.
AMD doesn't really have that.
No, they got a couple of things that are close.
And what's running a lot of the tablets? I mean, you have ARM.
It's all ARM.
It's all ARM?
Well, no, there's some Intel chips and AMD chips here and there. But they're inefficient. Nobody's buying these things. It's not really a market. It's essentially a market for iPads. I mean, there's no the competition doesn't amount to a hill of beans.
Now, they said that the next iPad, the iPad 3, one of the big things is going to come with a dual processor. We don't know what that is yet, right? Or do we?
I think it's dual core.
Okay, dual core. But is it going to be an ARM or something?
Oh,
yeah. An AMD?
Yeah, it's an ARM that's been redesigned by Apple.
Right. So, but the big difference between the two is clearly the Apple situation. Now, Apple came out with earnings tonight. Did you see that?
No. What was it?
Wow. I with a big wow. Hmm. Here's the numbers.
Why was I not surprised?
I mean, really a wow. More than previous wows. 15.43 million iPads were sold in the quarter. The estimate was 13.5. We're talking about 2 million
more.
Yeah,
that's a Christmas gift.
You can call it whatever you like, but that's a lot more than it was, and the estimates were high to begin with. In other words, 2 million more. 2 million did RIM ever sell 2 million of anything recently?
Well, yeah, but not recently.
Right. You saw 5.2 million Macs versus 5.1 million. All right, a little bit higher, but still higher. iPhones, 37 million iPhones versus 30, estimate. 7 million more iPhones. 18% surprise higher on revenues. They're also expecting, this is something that Apple doesn't usually do. Apple does not usually go out and say that they're going to have a much better quarter. They're usually pretty reserved. The old Microsoft game, remember that?
Oh, yeah. Microsoft was a virtuoso with that.
Yeah. So now they're seeing that they believe there will be about $32.5 billion in the second quarter, against estimates of 31.8 and 8.5 on EPS versus 8. Again, guiding higher. And the EPS this quarter was 13.87 per share versus 10, about 30% higher EPS. Stock was up as much as about 7.5% after hours. Again, huge for Apple. And that moves the entire market. Mm-hmm. If you calculate this now, if Apple stays up about 7.5% tomorrow, let's say, and Exxon doesn't move, let's just say it's flat, it will overtake and be the number one sized market cap company.
Yes.
$417 billion. And the fascinating thing is, this is from a company that almost died, 15 years ago?
Yeah. Welcome to the world of tech stocks.
That's unbelievable. I mean, that really is.
That's why tech stocks are so attractive to a lot of investors, because you can have this sort of turnaround.
Yeah, the iPhone sales are pretty. That was pretty impressive. I mean, you had to know something was up when they're throwing eggs in China, when they can't get their iPhones.
Yeah, they got definitely have the bull by the horn with that phone. But the 4S is a nice phone with that great camera and the rest of it. It's a nice product.
Yep.
I still like the Android better.
For well, a lot you're the of one that told me that the Android store is all full of bugs and Trojans and all sorts of bad things, viruses and all that, right?
Yeah, it's more real.
Oh. Are you from the, you know, if it doesn't hurt, it's no good? you know? It can't be that easy to work with, right? And then Google, take Google. Google misstep. They down 9%
stumbled,
after earnings.
Stumbled,
misstep, yep. The Europe was a big drag on them. They didn't have enough exposure to China. And the stock had sunk about, what, 9% since earnings, which is, again, big for Google. That's one of the biggest moves lower that it's had. And, you know, it's a kind of tale of one world, and it's just the Apple world, isn't it? If you kind of, like, go down that list of things we just talked about, between Intel, AMD, Google. And then, you know, do you remember we talked about this whole issue of the Amazon Fire has the Android operating system, and they have the Android app store behind it?
Right.
What's interesting, they pretty much I was reading a story today about this. I was really surprised that they didn't allow the whole Android store and Google apps, actual Google apps, to work on the Android Fire. They basically just lifted the code and took what they wanted from it and left Google in the dust.
Yeah, well, you can kind of do that with open source, depending on the licensing.
Stupid. That's just stupid of Google to do that. Are they that altruistic?
About what? It was stupid of Google?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, Amazon basically got a free deal, a free OS, that they can pick apart, do whatever they want with, that's being marketed by Google.
Yeah, but at some point, because of the Google Android store, people are going to demand that they can access the store, so they're going to have to get in line. They're going to have to, you know, snap to... Yeah, you can't get away with... I mean, you can for the short haul, but long term, it becomes a customer service nightmare. So I don't think so. I don't think it's a problem. It's the way it works. It's a new world.
Right. So Apple's trading about 4:51 after hours on that, and that obviously popped the NASDAQ and the Qs, and we'll see. It kind of gave the whole world a big excitement. Right now, the markets are in a bit of a bullish tendency, a bullish trend, and that is started at the beginning of this year. Something happened when the clock struck midnight, 2012, and everybody said, you know, I like stocks now.
Yeah.
And the markets are up nicely, smartly. They're up smartly.
Well, you could have a little rally this year. It's possible.
Yeah. We'll see how the economics go. We'll see what happens with Greece. We'll talk about that in a minute. We'll see what's going on with the haircuts and things of that. I thought, though, that we would bring it back, since it's been 2 weeks, to what you are thinking about with the Republican everyday nonstop debates that are going on.
Yeah.
Ron Paul obviously has not taken our advice and gone to a tailor.
Actually, on this last debate, his suit looked a lot better.
Better. I think it was because it was blue, not beige.
It was, well, it did help. It was navy.
Now, did you notice how the setup was in the last debate in Florida? You had the two main candidates that are leading right in the center. To the left, you had Rick Santorum. By the way, if you type in Rick Santorum and do a spell check, it comes up.
Yeah, we know
Rick,
this.
You do know that?
Yeah.
Oh, I just did it for the first time tonight. I didn't know it.
Wow.
Rick... Yeah, well, this is mind-blowing. This is big stuff here I'm talking about. Am I boring you yet?
No, but I'm going to tell you something weird about those debates. You have to. I actually took some photos. I'm going to probably blog. I don't know what they're doing, because we looked and looked and looked and couldn't figure it out. And I remember this from the debates during the with Obama and McCain, and even before that. I've always observed this one. I always like to look at this. How do you skew the opinion of the viewer? Rick Santorum, I believe, is 6'4 or 6'6. He towers over everyone. How do you make it look as if Romney is taller?
Yeah, he does look
taller. I have pictures I've taken, and you look at him, and Romney is taller than Santorum. Romney is reportedly either 6 foot or 6'1. Gingrich claims to be 6 foot, but he's about 5'10", and Ron Paul is 6 foot. He's 6 foot or 6'1". He's actually as tall as Romney. It's believed by many people that Romney has lifts, and he's got lifts in his feet. He's wearing, you know, basically high heels, and it gives him an inch or two. It gives him an inch or two, but he's still not going to be taller than Santorum unless he's wearing, you know, got no shoes on. And yet every shot showed him taller than Santorum. I find this to be rather weird.
Well,
and rigged. It's rigged.
There's more. If you look at if you look at the debates and you look at Santorum, it's very clear that the camera angle has it so that he is not ever looking in the camera. It's like he's a little bit off to the side.
Well, that's a good point. That may have something to do with how they're doing this. There's something going on. This is the kind of thing we talk about on No Agenda, obviously. But I am just completely – I could not for the life of me figured out how they made Santorum shorter than Romney, because I know Romney wasn't wearing, you know, four-inch spikes.
Right.
I mean, he'd have to.
Well, wasn't there somebody that wanted a little little lift underneath there? There was somebody that would have a
lift.
Well,
they showed that. I thought they may have a box because you can put a, you know, these things that are called apple crates. And there's a half a crate, a quarter crate, and a full crate. And they're usually painted black so that you can't see them. And they're used on the stage, and they're used on TV a lot. They showed the guy's feet very clearly, and there was no apple crates involved with any of these guys. So they weren't standing on anything. It was amazing. I don't know what they were doing.
But not only that, they put Gingrich and Romney in the center. They put to the left Santorum. They put to the right Paul. And what I thought was really interesting that almost, I don't know, it seemed this way, that they give Mitt Romney massive amounts of time.
Oh, yeah. No, he was
massive.
Yeah. They let him talk as long as he wanted.
And then it would go to Gingrich, and he would make some good points. And then every once in a while, they throw the other two a question.
Yeah, just gratuitous.
Yeah, and it was so obvious that they were, you know, favoring. I mean, I'm not trying to.
No, they were. I mean, the whole thing is a giant scam. So you're going to be seeing Romney as the next president if he can beat Obama.
I don't know. Gingrich is looking pretty good.
No.
With all of his problems and all the things in the past, he's looking good.
No.
He debates well.
Yeah, he's a good arguer.
Really good. He comes up with some facts that are just like, really?
Yeah, no, I'm not saying he's not a smart guy, but he's not on the track to win. They're not going to let him.
They weren't going to let Romney win for a while.
No, that was just a scam.
That was just a scam. What scam was that?
To make sure that people believe that this was a fair fight. Romney was in line. He was in line since 2008. He's the one who was bumped so McCain – I mean, that's the way – I've seen the Republicans do this. They do this all the time. They have their guy. They put him in. They make a big deal at the first to make it look like, oh, this is really a fair fight. And then once they settle in that the guy isn't a complete maniac, because they do have to test him, and he's not a complete maniac even though he's kind of arrogant, and then they just start pulling the other guys out, and boom, this guy wins. I mean, it's just – it's a done deal. It was done since the beginning.
He may have some of the best hair of a president if he becomes president.
And that's – a lot of people think the hair wins.
The hair is – it's big. The hair is big. The hair looks good.
Yeah, he's got Reagan hair. Although Reagan kept it dyed black. Yeah, Romney's got a little gray on the temple.
The women like that.
Well.
We'll see what happens. So you're thinking Romney, huh? All right. We'll see. State of the Union address was on this evening.
I watched most of it.
I was watching it on the iPad in high def.
It looked like the same old speech he's been given over the last couple of months.
It looked like it was.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, let's talk about, you know, I started writing notes. Here's my notes. Education, jobs, bring home manufacturing. Okay. There's a new proposal for every state that he wants to put in through all students have to stay in high school until they graduate or turn 18. Now, I'm thinking, what is the rule now? I guess you could just drop out, I suppose. But if they do put this in, what is going to be the penalty? Now you're going to put people in jail? I mean, I don't understand what's the punishment going to be.
Yeah, it's just bluff blather.
Or maybe they won't get unemployment insurance. I don't know. He's directing that 70% increase in offshore energy drilling. That's a big turnaround from what I thought. Unless, again, that's a statistic that is already in line and that's already been planned. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, develop every source of American energy.
He wouldn't say coal, but he was talking coal. That's what got the big round of applause.
Natural gas, big on the natural gas, talking about regulations being favorable for fracking. But yet at the same time, we do want to regulate because we don't want any of those terrible chemicals, which I agree with, into the water supply.
Did you hear him call out? He's moaning and groaning about the financial institutions. He also said phony profits, which how do you have a phony profit? You either make money or you don't, right? What's a phony profit?
a phony prophet is counting shenanigans.
Yeah, but these weren't. He was complaining about the prophets calling them phony prophets. He wasn't calling them talking about fraud.
Well, when you could take, well, it's not fraud if you take, for example, general accepted accounting principles, and the board that creates those says, okay, we're going to change those rules because the banks are looking really bad and they can't really value some of the securities. And we're going to go from a current true valuation to a valuation of securities that are estimated. And all of a sudden, the estimates change, the balance sheets change, your earnings change, and now you have big profits. You truly have losses. It's legal. It's been done.
Is it a profit? Can you take it out? Can you take it and spend it?
No, but you call it a profit, and everybody's all excited about it.
All
so
right.
It looks really good.
Did you notice that he mentioned when he was talking about it was either fracking or let me see, let me get your comment here. He's talking about fracking, showing the fracking chemicals. There's some other thing he did that was kind of wacky. Now I'll get back to it. Never mind.
Well, he was talking about. Well, first of all, I commented at this point. He says, "Was this a State of Union address?" I said, "I recall that in
it's kind of a campaign speech."
Yeah, it was a campaign speech, right? It was. And I said that there was the same thing again. He talked about energy, jobs, infrastructure, and education in the same light. You know, that we have to make immigration so that people don't leave. We need to, our roads and our highways are falling apart. We need to do something about that. We need to increase jobs. And through the energy program, blah, 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 blah. Again, the same thing over and over again. I guess if he drills it home enough, we're going to start to say, okay, fine.
Oh, you know, I don't think we're going to say, okay, fine, but...
By the way, all the money that was saved from us pulling out of Iraq, he wants half of that money to pay off the debt and half it to be used to spend to. So now, in other words, that's not going to be an expense that is any saved. It's going to be we're going to use that to fund these things he's talking about and potentially pay off some of the debt, which, by the way, the debt that he wants to pay off is also the same debt that he's asking for another $1.2 trillion to increase the debt ceiling again.
Yeah, this hasn't gotten a lot of publicity for some reason.
No. I still am just absolutely floored that we spent that other $1.2 trillion in 3 months.
Well, I didn't get any.
I didn't, yeah. Well, maybe it's in the mail. And stamps went up a penny.
Oh, they did?
I think so. They're 45 now.
For the basic one, the first ounce?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
What do you remember the lowest cost stamp from way back?
10 cents, I think.
10 cents. Same cost as a telephone call.
Yeah.
Was carrying around change. Let's see here. Greek debt. So the private shareholders are now saying, you know, we don't think this is really fair. You're trying to now push us to take a lower interest rate and to take a greater haircut. And now this whole thing that was supposed to be finished last week is dragging on and dragging on. And the thing that they're most pissed off about, the hedge funds, the private investors, is that the ECB that bought a lot of the Greek debt, when it comes due, they're going to get 100% of their money on it. But everybody else is going to get smacked.
Huh.
Hey, like that. It's nice to be king, isn't it?
This is going to this whole thing is I have nothing positive to say about it. I think it's going to – whether it blows up this year, I was thinking it was going to blow up in January. But they've done a pretty good job of putting it off.
Well, you know, the reason is, it's not them. We back-ended $90 billion to free up the liquidity of the banking system and the Eurozone. The Fed opened up lines and just shoved money in there because we have so much money to give. And they freed it all up. I mean, we're back doing the same thing that we did, that we got all sorts of hell for, or the Fed did years ago in 2008, when we were, you know, giving $25 billion to Deutsche Bank or whatever it was, and billions to this one, and we were funding all the world's banks from our pocketbook.
Well, I guess we're the only ones who can do that. The Chinese don't want to do it.
They're not going to do it. They're all out for themselves. They're having their own little problems over there, if you haven't noticed. So, you know, that's a big problem with the Greece situation, but I think what's happening is, and I wrote about this, it's a piece that I've, the quarterly piece that we write, and it's coming out probably tomorrow. And one of the things is this whole idea of limited memory. You know, when the National Association of Realtors a couple months ago said, you know, we went back and looked at our records and the existing home sales that we reported on from the years 2008 to 2010 or so We were off by about 14 million sales.
Yeah.
We double counted. We did the, this is, and you know, but you look back and like nobody flinched. Ah, it's behind us already. Who cares? This is a limited memory. So if now, if what happens is that, you know, we get the taste of a Greek default and nothing happens and we get the taste of it, and then things get a little bit stronger for whatever reason, and you know, they keep it hidden, they keep it built up with cash and all that, and then they default. So, you know, at that point it's a belief. It's a big plan. I don't mean to be say conspiracy. It's just a planning mechanism so that you don't have people freaking out.
Yeah, no, and what would happen if they did freak out?
Yeah, then it's not good. Then it creates collapse in the rest of the markets. Right now, you just want to make sure that they're happy. They can kind of take the hit. You build them up so
dumb and happy.
Take the hit. Yeah, you could, but they could take the hit.
Yeah.
You know, you build up the fighter so he get hit and he's not going to go down. But you build him up slowly. Natural gas, wow. Natural gas took a big ride the last couple of days. Natural gas was at a 10-year low last Thursday.
Yeah.
2 days in a row, it was down over 5% a day. It was down 24% for the year, and I did something very stupid.
What?
On that day, I said, we're buying natural gas. Something I didn't think I'd say for a very long time. I said, this may be a crazy thing to do, but it looks like a total capitulation here. And all that's going to happen is that if natural gas prices get so low, major producers are going to cut back on production. They just have to. They can't let this just keep going to zero.
Exactly.
So what happened was, and the timing was great, the next day or a day later, Chesapeake came out and said, you know what? We're cutting production. We're going to slice production down pretty substantially by 7 or 8% because, you know what? We don't want these prices going low. And natural gas popped 10% one day.
It's at 261 currently.
Yeah, it was up like 2.5% now overnight, last time I saw at least. So that's
and crude oil is under 100, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. We'll see some numbers tomorrow morning, 10:30 in the morning. We'll see the DOE, Department of Energy's numbers come out. And there's been some build the last couple of weeks. We'll see what happens in the whole Iran thing. Did you see what Ron Paul said? That he said that basically, or not even basically, he said we have caused an act of war by blockading the Straits of Hormuz.
Yeah, I think so. We're trying to goad them into doing something. I mean, they keep talking about the Iranian. I don't know what the Iranians, maybe somebody said something once, but the fact is the Iranians use the Strait of Hormuz for almost all their trade, except the stuff that goes over, you know, across the border on the other side. But generally speaking, most of their shipping goes through there, and they're already in trouble. So why would they block their only way to get themselves out of trouble? It makes no sense. I mean, that's what Ron Paul was talking about. And everybody else, oh, I don't know, they're going to build a nuke, they're going to use it, yeah, we got to bomb them. The other candidates don't even address any of this, any of the logic.
Right, or illogic.
Or the illogic.
Lack of logic. Yeah, exactly.
And Ron Paul does, and nobody cares. Mm-hmm. It's hilarious, actually.
Yeah. He makes some good points, but I agree. Everybody is just... Big news on Ford. Ford is changing their slogan. Woohoo! From Drive One, that's their current slogan, to...
Oh, I thought there was a Land of Ideas or whatever it used to be. What was the... We have ideas, or the idea. What was the? They had one before. I don't even remember Drive One. That's new.
I don't remember it either.
Drive One. What kind of a slogan is that?
Or Drive One.
Why don't they make it Buy One?
Yeah, exactly. Or how about Buy Two?
Yeah.
Now the new one is Ford. Go further.
What?
Go further.
Well, let's get a bit better gas mileage, I guess.
I don't know. Maybe. Have you ever followed the newspaper, the Daily Mail? This is what I think
the
you would
Daily Mail out of London.
Yeah, it's hysterical.
It's a rag.
It's hysterical, though.
Oh, it is hysterical. But these stories, half of them, I don't even believe half of these stories. It's almost
the stories today.
But they are funny.
They're funny. Now, this one is the story. There's a couple of them that were on the front page today. The one that's making the rounds right now is this woman in, I think, Singapore, who spent 3 years in the bathroom. She went in the bathroom one day and decided, you know what?
I like it in here.
Yeah, and there's bad things out there.
So she had agoraphobia, only it was to an extreme that she couldn't even leave the bathroom.
Yeah, supposedly she was in there naked for 3 years, took 18 showers in that period of time, and her husband would be feeding her, of course. You know, now, you know, you wonder, what kind of a husband is going along with this? And allowing her to be fed in the bathroom and all that. And I mean, can you imagine? I hope they had more than one bathroom in the house, by the way. I didn't even think about that. But, yeah, this is the kind of, I thought it was kind of interesting. 950 days or something like that she was on the toilet.
So things are slow in Florida.
Yeah, it seems that way. Fed is going to release their interest rate policy tomorrow. This is Fed Day, big excitement. There's a lot of thought that they're going to release QE3, which I can't even imagine. I mean, the economy is at least stabilizing, if not getting a little bit better. The housing is a little bit better. Employment's a little bit better. Now, if they come in and say, well, it's not so good and all that, I mean, they're kind of going against what they've been saying. And they're going to do this new communications thing. They're starting their new communication where they're going to do interest rate forecasts just to really screw us up. Come out with what they believe interest rates will be and where it is. And right now it's... They're saying that they're going to keep it to the zero rate till about 2013. I don't know what else they can do from there, but that's crazy. That's tomorrow. That's going to be at 12 and 2:15, I believe. And we're going to see the question and answer period and all that from Fed Reserve Chief Ben Bernanke. So that's always usually a pretty cool day where you see a big run up into it, and then
it collapses.
Unless they do something, exciting.
It's going to end up down.
Well, see, the market's been really resilient. Every single time there's a little bit of a dip. I mean, little bit is being bought into in the U.S. markets and foreign markets. The same thing. It's like right now, bad news is good news and good news is good news.
I wish you luck.
Yeah, thank you. Lots of ruck. Green Mountain. Stock
your favorite company.
Too. Yeah. Stock
so we ran into a Green Mountain product at Costco.
Oh.
Apparently, there's some deal with them and Tully's, and Tully's is making coffee for one of their Green Mountain devices, whatever it is, Keurig or whatever those things are called. There's a bunch of these machines, these phony baloney machines. There's a slew of them. Have you ever busted open one of these things and looked inside the little coffee container?
Like three drops of coffee in there. There's like nothing in there.
It's like it's like condensed coffee. It's not like it's really brewing coffee. It's just a glorified instant coffee maker.
Right, it's like evaporated coffee that becomes infused with hot water.
Yeah, it's called instant coffee.
Yeah. But now, you know, those little cups, right? Can you imagine those little cups they're made out of? What are they? Plastic, I guess, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Well, now there's now the eco folks are up in arms.
Oh, it's about time.
You know, all these coffee makers are spitting out all these coffee cups that are creating a natural ecological problem. Because, you know, these things don't seemingly don't fall apart, what's the word I'm looking for?
Biodegrade.
Biodegrade very, very well. And so there's all this whole concern about that. And Green Mountain's been really heavily shorted. It's up 12% this year, down 50% since September. We'll see what happens with their latest.
We know you hate this company.
There's so many problems. There's accounting issues. It's heavily shorted. There's people all over the place. The thing has just wild swings.
What's the symbol?
It's GMCR. It's like a wild stallion. This thing.
It's up to 56.6.
That's like 100 and change in September.
Yeah. Yeah, it was way up there. It's crazy. Yeah,
it's crazy. Just as crazy as Netflix. Their earnings is coming tomorrow. Stock is up 33% this year, which is 3 weeks or so. And they're going to be coming out with their earnings.
Symbol NFLX?
Yep. About 100.
Wow, they're up to almost 100 again. Wow. This is an opportunity knocking.
Yeah. On the long side. No, short side.
Yeah.
You're still not in favor of any longs.
I know. I've got a long for today when we go to hit the stocks. I got one.
Oh, that's good to hear.
I probably should short it, though, but I'm going to long
it. We'll see. Let's see what else is anything on here that was of
interest. No, I see things as selling opportunities. They're coming and going. Intel's looking good.
Looking good for selling, huh?
Yeah.
Well, with Apple coming out with the big earnings tomorrow, that should pop Intel again. And don't forget, there's a lot of these players that were really caught off guard last year, the mutual funds that were well behind their benchmark. And if you think about what's happening right now, that if every dip is being bought, so you have let's just take a number, a 1% down day on the S&P. Well, if the mutual fund has cash, they buy into it. Because if you think about it, they can't get behind at that point. right? So they're better off by 1% because they weren't in on that position. They buy in. If it goes down, they're still with the market, right?
Yep.
And if it goes up, they're 1% ahead.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what's happening right now. They're deploying cash until the cash runs out is when, you know, when the music stops. Question is, you know, who's going to be sitting in that last chair? I have a question for you about...
It won't be the average investor, I can assure you.
Right. Yeah. Mega Upload. This guy, what's his name? Kim.com or something?
Kim.com.
What is that?
Kim Jong-il.
Yeah, that's what it's like.
Yeah,
what,
you know, he changed his name to .com.
He changed his name. Okay.
Yeah. And legally, that's his name.
Kim.com. And he owned this site or developed this site, Mega Upload.
Yeah.
Well, what's the story? Why is that one being shut down and others aren't?
There's about five or six of these sites that are very similar. He thinks it was because he's so showy. He makes a big deal out of all the money he makes, and he has a bunch of hookers around him all the time. And he's got a bunch of flashy cars, and he bought this huge spread in New Zealand. People should try to look this up on the internet just to get a look at it from the sky. Wow. I mean, this makes Barbara Streisand's place look like, you know, like a shack.
And how does he make all his money?
Well, the Mega Upload thing made $175 million last year.
And that's because of the pirated software?
Well, it's mostly subscriptions. And there's he has two or three models, a lot of advertising and subscriptions for the high-end service, which allows you to steal stuff, essentially. And they probably think would have gotten away with all of this if they hadn't stupidly written open emails about what they were up to, which it was found out in Discovery, or will be anyway. And it's something of a showcase lawsuit, trying to prove something or other. I'm not absolutely sure what. They grabbed his assets, so he really can't afford to pay his lawyers, which is, I always think, is weird.
And then Google, for example, staged a shutdown for a little while there in protest of this potential law coming out, which is kind of interesting because they did it on the First Amendment rights.
Google never really shut down. They just put a black thing over their logo. Wikipedia shut down, and so did a couple other sites, Reddit.
But why would they do that? I mean, why would – if this is a pirated software sharing – you know, why would Google – Google's not in favor of that. Why are they – they get a lot of advertising from that or something?
No, no. It's the way it was, the way this law is written, SOPA and PIPA. Mm-hmm. Essentially, you – this is an exaggeration, but this is essentially what the problem is. You could call one of these agencies and say, look, that DH Unplugged site, I think they got pirated stuff on there. And then they can just shut the site down without due process at all. They don't have to call a judge, nothing. They just, boom, done. That and other issues. They could shut down bank accounts. And the bankers didn't like this either because, you know, they could essentially – they have enough problems when the IRS comes in and says, hey, we want this money and we don't want you to collect this shit. It's just, they can't – this is not something they can do easily.
So and we should thank the Googles and the Wikipedias and all them for coming in and making it so that government can't just do a big grab.
Government and it's like the, you know, the old thing. And when I was a kid, I always heard about the Cubans. Oh, you know, your neighbor is going to turn in your parents. It's a terrible system, even though they want us to do that now. See something, say something. But it would have been an exaggerated version of that, where it's not just the government, but, you know, evildoers that are trying to shut you down. You might be the competition. Very similar to what happened in the 1860s, when in the late 1860s, especially when all the telegraph companies were in business, and probably it was a couple dozen of major telegraph operations. And with Western Union being the one that won the war, and they would have goons go out and chop down poles constantly. So if you had a telegraph line running from some point A to point B, they would just cut the poles down and cut the wires. And so every one of these companies would do that to the other companies. It was the way it was done. And you had to have all kinds of guards and security systems in place to keep the thing hooked up because of these guys were doing this all the time. You'd shoot them.
Oh.
This is the kind of thing that would be going on. We don't need this kind of aggravation with the internet, which is essentially what we're talking about would happen. You still there?
What is that? What is that?
What?
Did you hear that?
No.
Let's just say there was voices in my head right there. I don't know, probably somebody listening in.
Uh-oh, the jig's up. We can't talk about the, you know.
That was a little strange. That was a little strange. And it wasn't you. I think it was Kevin Bacon.
Could have been.
Yep, it was. Anyway, all right, so I want to take a look at some of our stocks. Before we look, I will say to you that the last batch was not our best.
No, we got to get back in the groove.
Not our best. And I left some of these. A lot of these are stopped out, but I want to show you some of these. I didn't stop them out so you could see what has happened and why shorting in this kind of environment is very difficult.
Yeah, no, I see everything I shorted died. Except for, well, that's not, Jive Software, that's yours.
No, that's yours.
It is?
I think so.
I don't think so.
Hmm.
It doesn't say name on it.
That's a good point. I will undo that. I guess that I did that.
You made it look like me. But that's the only one that did well. I mean, I basically lost out on LinkedIn, went up. It's still a good short, I will say. Zynga, you know, okay, well, live with that. Acme Packet went up.
Now, that's really fascinating, the Acme Packet, because Acme Packet came out. They really they guided lower. They came out pretty ugly. But then you had F5 come out, and F5 did very well, and a variety of the other companies that are similar to that did pretty good, and that was pretty surprising. And the investors are saying, you know what, we don't believe the management, which is pretty bizarre.
Yeah,
but that's what's going on right now. Just don't believe the management. Oil is, we have a 6.5% gain on oil.
And that's an ultra short.
That's an ultra short. And then the rest of them.
Yeah, and you had all these shorts along with my shorts. You had Wynn, Teradata, Alcoa, and they all crapped out.
Yep. Right at the edge on Alcoa, Teradata right over the top. It's over 10. Wynn, I'm very surprised with Wynn, how it came back so strong.
Well,
MicroStrategy's hanging in there.
Yeah, I'm now convinced that we're premature with these shorts, so I think we'll let it ride a little longer. So I'm going to go long on a stock, which I could easily short. But and I'll tell you why I'm going long. I'm going long on IEP.
IEP. Hang on. No. IEP. IEP. Icon Enterprises. Wow. Really?
Well, you should ask me why.
Why is that, by the way?
Well, generally speaking, with insider trading, the rule is typically you pay more attention to their buying than their selling, because sometimes you just want to take some money off the table. But when somebody, namely Carl Icahn, comes in and buys $500 million worth of his own stock, I get the sense that something's up.
Well, the other thing is, don't forget, he also bagged out of a few other companies. So he took money off the table when he was trying to buy or he took money off the table with Sears. He took the money off the table with AutoZone, huge amounts of money off the table with AutoZone. So is it possible also that he's just funding his own company then to go out and try to do another deal with his stock?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
but
yeah,
still.
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, I've seen a lot of insider trading that, you know, where somebody buys and – I mean, legal insider trading where they buy and buy. But I never saw a one-shot buy, this is on the 20th of January, of $463 million. I mean, that's just a little extreme.
Right.
He must have, you know, some confidence in his own company. So yeah. I think long, that's an interesting long.
Okay, so we're going to say insider buying. Okay, insider buying. I mean, I can go with another. There's a long that I would we own, actually, and that we don't have down here, unfortunately. It's IPGP.
IPGP.
Shift IPGP. I'll put that in there because that looks like it's going to break out. There's a few of them that look like they could. If they go above just a little bit more, they could break out. Crocs we just bought. I'll put Crocs, too. You know that?
You bought Crocs.
Yeah, we bought Crocs.
IPG
today.
Photonics?
Yep.
What do they do?
They do lasers and measuring instruments, and look at the stock.
Yeah, the stock looks damn good.
Yeah, I mean,
nice chart.
We bought that right off the bottom, and that was pretty good. We bought AK Steel yesterday as well. It came out with the earnings that beat. You know, we're trying to find actually a little bit different than usual. We're trying to find some really beaten down names that have heavy short interest that got dropped with a very, if you kind of look to the left, you'll find very little volume on the drop, so that when it, if they do pop, they're going to get this short squeezed right up.
Hmm.
That's kind of what we're looking for right now. But we have Apple. You're gonna be stopped out of tomorrow. Just to let you know.
Yeah, that's about time.
Unless something happens overnight, that's weird.
I wrote a column about this, saying when would you really want to short Apple? And I'll say it again: it's when they start closing stores. And I don't see any evidence of that anytime soon. I think Apple's got a good run ahead of it.
Yeah,
probably a couple, 2-3 years.
KLA 10 core is our number one, up 17%. We've had that since way back in October. Acorn, what's actually interesting, because if you look at the market since then, if you think about what's going on, that means that the stock has not had a 10% downstroke since that point.
Yeah, it's a long. It's a while.
You know, Acorn, which is the pharmaceutical company for eye drugs, has actually they got it a little bit lower too. They were a little bit concerned. They have to get above about another 4% higher, and then they just blast off. But we'll see if that happens. It's kind of been in between. It had a nice day today, up 2.5%. The volume wasn't great. Monster Beverage broke out finally, 106. It's up 12%. And then we talked about some of the other ones that are stopped out. Zynga is still good on. We stopped out on a few others. But I would add IPGP and Crocs. I think that Crocs, has a decent shot here. Deckers is actually a short if it gets a little bit below, I think, another 50 or 60 cents. You got to sometimes be patient with these things. Deckers is looking really, if you look at that stock, the chart, DECK, yeah, awful.
Yeah. Get to where I'm going. There it is. Okay. DECK.
Looks like it's about to just drip down.
Deckers Outdoor.
Yeah, they make the UGG boots.
Oh, the UGG guys. You and these shoes.
What can I tell you? Look at some of these names. They're unbelievable. There's a lot of feet in the world. And by the way, I did my usual complaining. I was on a plane today and yesterday.
Oh, God, now what?
I did my usual complaining.
Some guy walked around barefoot with big bunions all over his head. Bleeding on the floor.
I walked into the thing where you have to put your arms up in the x-ray machine thing. And I asked the lady. They said,
I don't go into that. I was just watching. You just say you opt out. You don't have to go in.
They pat you down.
Yeah. That you're exposing yourself. Now the evidence. There's No Agenda show on Thursday. We're going to talk about this. I hope. There's a woman that just gave a big speech at the. It was on UCTV, and she was talking about the low level of radiation exposures and some of the things going on. And I walked away with two pieces of information. Never get a CT scan unless you're damn near dead, which apparently is just loaded. I mean, it's like something like 60 chest x-rays in exposure. And don't go through that machine.
Well, all I can tell you is, aside from that, what really bugged me was they made me stand on the thing that said, they have the pictures of your foot, right? So they said, stand on there. And I said, excuse me, can I ask you something? Yeah. When's the last time you Lysoled this? Never. And I said, don't you think you should start? Yeah, it'd probably be a good idea. Ugh. It's just, they don't care. They just don't care about my foot health.
What's going to happen to your feet that you're so worked at, so freaked?
I have no
idea. You would go through the x-ray machine, no problem. Yeah, I get zapped with a bunch of x-rays, but you're worried about, your socks touching somebody's athlete's foot yeast or whatever it is.
It's not that. It's the whole experience is just, you got to undress. You got to take your belt off. By the time you get off, your pants are falling down, the whole thing is just the whole thing is upside down and backwards.
Yeah, well, it's not helping anybody. And what good has it done? They've never caught anybody. It's the whole thing.
Then I get on
scam.
A plane, and the woman three seats behind me is like coughing up a lung the whole time.
Oh, I hate that.
Okay, I'm like, and I keep on looking back, and everybody around me is
just horrified.
What are
you going to do? Well, she can't stop coughing. You can look at her all you want.
Yeah, but the looking felt good, and just give her that evil eye.
Stink eye.
And she's like coughing into her into her elbow,
nice.
Yeah, but it was horrible. It was horrible. Anyway, the whole plane was freaking out. I was in one of these little jets with the 2x2s.
A Fokker?
From Dulles,
is
I
it
guess
a Fokker?
It was. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know what it was, but it was a small little plane. It was cute. It was a nice little plane. On the way down, there was a bunch of people from your company, MicroStrategy, on the plane. On the way up, I should say. And that was, they were all, I was going to say, you know, can you give me a little insight to the company? My buddy's got it short on a special list of ours. Yep. Nothing doing.
Yeah, well, hopefully things will turn around in my shorts.
Yeah.
As it were.
Yeah, so to speak. Ah, very nice, very nice. Well, anyway, listen, Kevin, it's been really great to talk to you.
I'm going to have to go rent a movie, a Kevin Bacon movie. He doesn't work much anymore, that guy.
No, he doesn't have to. Okay, here's a GOP rebuttal, what we just got right off the bat. We need a... Okay, let's see. It says, the GOP rebuttal by Governor Mitch Daniels. He says, the state of the union is grave. The economy has gotten worse in the past 3 years. It's
yeah.
grave. Very grave.
Okay. Doesn't look that way from these stocks that we picked. The shorts are failing and the longs are going well.
Yeah, so it's less than grave. The economy is not grave. It's being unearthed as we speak. So that's what it is. Well, depends on what side of the table you're looking at, I guess.
So we didn't. 2 weeks we missed, we got nothing. The show has kind of got, there's no news. The market hasn't moved. It hasn't done anything.
Yeah, it's pretty. Let's see what it says on the bottom here. Let's see. Nope, it's right where it was.
The euro is at $1.30.
Well, it's over $1.30, and things are really bad over there. Oh, let me tell you why. Let me tell you, this is important. This is really important. Here's the ticket in this market right now. And I say when this market, I mean this market cycle, this trend, whatever you want to call it right now. The worst is the best. Everything that was just horrendous from 2010 is being bought up. Look at the banks as an example. You find where everybody is going, where everybody is. They're short the euro, and you go long. I'm not kidding. You find if they're all going long oil, and you go short. Because it seems like whatever the big trend is, they're just knocking it the other way. Everybody was short banks. They're getting killed on the banks. You know, the banks getting killed and the short. And then you just go the other way and just ramps it the other direction. A lot of people looking at utilities and bonds. Ah, bonds are great. They're getting killed. It's an opposite year. You got to find all the things that there's a big trend towards for the most part. Not like an Apple. I mean, I'm something a little bit bigger in terms
like something
of
something from a Superman comic book.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. It's what's going on.
All right. Well, I'll consider the opposite thing when I. So that's why I should have shorted Icahn's company, but I think I'll go long. I mean, he can't be wrong every time.
And the good news is, it's fake money.
Yeah. Well, I know, that's but there's the pride. Pride.
Oh, it's true. That's true. All right. Well, I will see you definitely next week. We will make sure we are here, and you'll find out more. Maybe we can get a little bit of a. What you could do maybe is find a little clip from Kevin Bacon, and you can repeat it, and we'll all vote on it.
All right, I can do that. I'll find a Kevin Bacon clip, and then I'll say the same thing, and you can make a decision. Sounds
that'd
good.
That'd be great. That'll be exciting.
Yeah, that'd be great. Really exciting. All right, we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Right. Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.